The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to Your Money with David Hayes. Jim Inman in the hot seat. Now, this has been a minute since I've had the opportunity to start off a Your Money with David Hayes program. For those of you that have been longtime WGCL listeners, David and I would do the live Saturday morning show for, 10 years or so at least before I switched careers and whatnot and went on to kind of see the world a little bit and everything, and then came back to join David and the crew in early August, and it's been a wonderful transition, and life is good and everything. But I'm here because David is not at the moment. He's going to be calling in just a couple of minutes. We have an annual broker-dealer compliance conference. Each year, David, Dan, Doug, several of our crew go to this compliance conference, learning about a variety of things that impact what we do as an industry, what we do as an organization. And so he will be joining us in just a few minutes on the telephone for our Q&A show. We've had a lot of questions come in over the last several weeks. Many of them have been in the office, and several of them have come in from you, and we always appreciate that. If you have any questions ever about the show, or if you have a question about something financially related, or if you want to talk about life, we can help potentially with that too. Telephone number at the office, 334-3190, or you can go to cfci.us, click on Contact Us, and that will get you right into my email box, and we'll see what we can do to help you out with that. We got a number of topics today to discuss. We're going to talk about Social Security and the recent cost of living adjustment. Now, this is something that happens every year. We've got some statistics on that, and I actually brought in a copy of my own personal Social Security statement. I'm not going to give you the numbers or anything like that. You don't need to worry about that. But I want to kind of go through this with David just to kind of highlight what is available to anyone and everyone who has an account on the Social Security website. You can go on there and get personal information. You can kind of see what your numbers are and whatnot. So we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. We've also got some questions about 401ks and Roth IRAs, insurance deductibles, annuities, a variety of things. So we're going to hit a variety of topics over the next hour with you here on WGCL. Next week on the program, we're going to have Jerry Sedler back on the show. It's been a little bit since Jerry has been on. Jerry and her husband, Rick Miner, are the co-authors of the book, Don't Retire, Rewire. And this has been a book that has come through a number of editions over the last decade or so. Jerry is a wonderful guest. You're going to enjoy the full hour next week. The idea behind it is that when you get to the age of retirement and you're trying to determine what the next step is for yourself, if that's going to be a vacation retirement type thing, if that's finding a new career and potentially working full-time or half-time or whatever you would like to do, however you want to define your life in retirement, this is a great book and a great resource for people across the board. So Jerry Sedler, the co-author of Don't Retire, Rewire, will be joining us on the telephone next week. So thinking about all of these things, want to give you a quick reminder also, and this is part of our weekly e-blast that we're going to be sending out here today. The month of October is Cybersecurity Month. And is it really a financial topic? It can be, because there are so many hackers and scammers out there in the world that it can be a huge problem. So if you are so inclined, take a couple minutes to search online for cybersecurity tips. There are information out there from a number of reputable organizations setting up multi-factor authentication so that if you are away from your computer and you need to verify who you are, if something is happening, that can work. updating your passwords, just a variety of things that can be really beneficial for your online safety and security. Coming from the banking world prior to coming back to the investment world, unfortunately, the scammers out there will try and snag any little bit of information, and suddenly your personal info can be compromised. There's wonderful programs out there that help prevent identity theft and whatnot. And of course, you can always go to annualcreditreport.com and get a free copy of your credit report there and just double check that, make sure everything is in good shape. Today's show is brought to you by Like Law Group. Attorney Lance Like at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance Like at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. We're going to get David on the air here in just a moment. And again, we're talking our Q&A show this week. We'll do a little bit of Social Security, cost of living, and much more. Stay with us right here on WGCL. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Welcome back, everyone, to Your Money with David Hayes here on WGCL. Thanks so much for tuning in. And our first caller of the day, longtime listener, multi-time caller, Mr. David Hayes. How is the world treating you, sir?
It's going great. I need to turn that stinking text message alert off, but I just did that, so I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm actually in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona, and we have our annual broker-dealer conference here. So we came out yesterday, and I had a morning of freedom, which was awesome. Had a great breakfast at a spectacular buffet. Doug Hughes is out here with me as well. My wife's with me. And then another group from the office will be arriving on Wednesday or Thursday. I can't even remember. We're recording this show a little bit early because we'll be in full swing with the BD conference on Thursday.
And annual event. It's a lot of detail about the industry, but also about what happens internally at investment offices, correct?
You know, that's kind of off-grid when you're one-on-one, these little groups talking about best practices and things like that. Yeah, a lot of compliance stuff, a lot of trends in the industry. More in the weeds on that side of it is than it is in client experiences or investment tactics or whatever. And a lot of times I have a role in these events where I have to speak or present, but this time I'm totally off the grid. I'm going to hang out at the pool this afternoon. We have a big dinner tonight, and then we'll be full throttle in the morning. So they had sort of a VIP group that came in. Doug was part of that group, and so was I for a day. That's more social stuff, getting together, connecting with people that you only see maybe once or twice a year. So it's a good time, a good event, and it's beautiful here in Scottsdale. It was 102 yesterday, by the way. 101 today. Yeah, next week it's going to start cooling down into the 80s, so I think they're looking forward to that around here.
Not too bad, not too bad. Well, I was telling everybody before you came on, it's Q&A show today, and I wanted to talk a little bit about Social Security and the cost of living adjustment that came out just in the last week, and I'll let you kind of start off, and then I've got a copy of my Social Security statement that I was going to kind of highlight what people can see if they open up an account on the Social Security website and what information's available.
Sure. Well, Social Security each year will take a look at the inflation numbers and give a cost of living adjustment. Of course, the last 2 years have been huge, huge, huge increases. This year, it looks like for 2024, it'll be a 3.2% increase, and they'll see that starting their first check in 2024. Now, a lot about Social Security is kind of interesting to me. You know, we haven't had, and I think we're going to talk about this when we get to your statement, but, you know, there hasn't been any major reforms to Social Security since 1984. Ronald Reagan was in office. The Social Security Trust Fund was on the brink of going to zero. Everyone's promised to get a check the next month, or actually the next year, was going to be in jeopardy. And they made some drastic changes. They increased the retirement age to 67. They increased the opportunity for people to delay their Social Security, to get some delay credits. So if you waited, you'd receive an 8% bonus each year up to age 70. They also instituted taxation on Social Security back in 1984 for the very first time. So a lot happened in 84, and what was interesting about that event was that the major changes didn't affect anyone at the time who was over the age of 30. So when we talk about how we're going to fix Social Security, how we're going to make the solvency better, it the major changes might come to the people that aren't even paying attention. I joked about this at the workshop at Ivy Tech. Ask your kids, ask your grandkids, anyone maybe even under the age of 25, hey, what age are you eligible for Social Security? My guess is they have zero chance of answering that question correctly. So who do you want to jack up the age on? those guys, that's what they did back in 1984, and that's what they're going to do again.
So this this round, we went up to a 3.2% cost of living adjustment for 2024. Looks like it's going to be about an increase of $57 to $1,849, depending on what the monthly check is. Is that 3.2? Is that typically a standard number, David?
2.2 has been historically the number. So we're, you know, coming off some pretty hot inflation numbers. So these are welcome raises for people. You know, everything costs more, and Social Security is a very significant part of most people's retirement. It's, in some people's case, it's all they have, unfortunately. But for most people, it's at least a third of their retirement income is Social Security. So it's a pretty significant part. You know, another thing about Social Security, Jim, and this is fresh off of our taxes and retirement workshop at Ivy Tech, but I read that statement from the Social Security Administration when they were introducing Social Security as part of the New Deal in 1935. And it talked about when you're eligible to take benefits. Well, you're eligible to take benefits at 65, period. And life expectancies at the time were only 62. So no one expected someone to be on Social Security for 20 and 25 years. It was called old age insurance. It's still called that. But now people are living into their late 80s and 90s and even into their 100s. So that's why the Social Security system is needing a little bit of repair right now, because no one expected people to be on the system as long as they are. And the fact that demographics have moved in the way they have. You know, back when the baby boomers, as they call them, were born, that was a result of the men, and mostly men, coming back from the war. Well, you know, they didn't have as many kids as their parents did. They had 32 million less children than their parents did. So, you know, that's when demographics start getting to you. My father-in-law was the oldest of 10. Now, he was older. He had Misty when they were 40, so he was a Korea War guy, died when he was 85, going to be 86. But he was one of 10. He had three. I have one. If you go through and look at everyone's family, back then, man, they had big families, because when they first started, we had 42 people paying in for every one person taking out. Now it's like less than 2 to 1. So it's like 2.1 to 1. So we've got some real issues on the horizon. I can't wait till you pull your statement out and read when it says the trust fund's going to be exhausted.
So we've talked about this statement. This is, again, open to anyone and everyone who has ever put any money into the Social Security Fund. If you go to Social Security's website, ssa.gov/myaccount, all one word, you can sign up to have a Social Security account that you can see online. Typically, you get a notice 2 or 3 months before your birthday with an update of what has happened on your Social Security in the last year. So, like I said in the opening segment, I'm not giving you any personal information or whatnot, but some of the details that are on here talks about your retirement benefits, that at my age, which I'll be 48 in a couple of months, my full retirement age is 67. So I've got 19 years to go, and tells me based on what my earnings, where I would be earning. Disability benefits, if I had to claim disability, survivor benefits, if there's a minor child involved, if there's a spouse, if you have a spouse and you take out the funds at the beginning of the eligibility rather than waiting until full retirement age. All of this is detailed on the Social Security statement. Medicare detail is there as well. And then it breaks down into your earnings, so you can actually see, you know, what you made over your lifetime. For mine, I started working in my first job when I was 16 years old, so I've got a couple of columns on this spreadsheet, which are way back when kind of thing, and then it gives me the last basically 15 years breakdown of the annual income, tells me what Social Securities I have paid, and don't forget, folks, employers pay Social Security as well, so that's listed on here as well. You need to have at least 10 years of work in order to qualify for retirement benefits. Like I said, I've been working since I was 16, so I'm pretty much covered on that. Here's a note on the statement. If you are divorced and were married for 10 years, you may be able to claim benefits on your ex-spouse's record. If your ex-spouse receives benefits on your record, that does not affect your or your current spouse's benefit amounts. David, that's probably something you've experienced working with clients.
Oh, my gosh, Jim, I've experienced everything in the nearly 30 years of doing this. And by the way, in 1984, Jim, you were 9 years old when they made those adjustments. So, yeah, you weren't paying attention to age 67 as being your full benefit.
I was not.
Yeah, you know, basically, if you are widowed and you could take widow's benefits as early as 60, there's still earnings limitations, which means if you're making money somewhere, they still do whack you for money made over like 18 grand a year, something like that, maybe it's 20. 2 for 1, they call it. Yeah, so there's so many nuances to Social Security divorced, married 10 years, divorced, not remarried before you start taking benefits. All that kind of stuff comes into play. That's why, you know, it seems simple, right? You get to 62, you're eligible. If you want to take it, fine. If you're still working, you're going to have a limitation there. Maybe 65 is right when we get on Medicare, and then 67, or maybe it's 66 and 10 months, 66 and 8 months, whatever, is when you're eligible for benefits. And then, oh, by the way, if you delay it, you can get 8% more each year, plus these inflation bumps we've talked about up to age 70. And then that becomes the household benefit. What I mean by that is everyone gets caught up on, oh, man, I have to live past 82 before it made sense for me to wait. Well, yeah, but that's not just you. It's really if you're married, it's your spouse as well. So if I have a great big benefit, let's say, and I'm 67, and Misty, say, she says, I'm going to turn mine on. Well, fine, turn yours on. She doesn't have a real big earnings record. And then, but I delay mine whenever I pass away, and assuming I go first, which I probably will, and she would step up to my larger benefit. So when you're age 65, there's a 50% chance, if you're a married couple, age 65, 50% chance, one of you will make it to 92, and a 25% chance that one of you will make it to 98. So it really is the granddaddy of them all. You have inflation adjustment, guaranteed income, tax efficiency, because not all of your benefits taxable. 85% of your benefit for most people is subject to federal tax, and zero state tax. So it's a very important benefit. So to maximize it and make sure you make the right choices is super, super important.
So before we take our break, the Social Security statement that I'm talking about, it's 4 pages long. The first 2 pages are the personal information about the individual. So like I said, I was referencing myself on some of these. The last 2 pages are kind of the cookie-cutter items of important note. So 2 things here I want to share. One is understanding your retirement benefits. Social Security is not meant to be your only source of income in retirement. On average, Social Security will replace about 40% of your annual pre-retirement earnings, although this can vary based on each person's circumstances. The other part that David referenced a couple of minutes ago, Social Security will be there when you retire. Now, this is listed on the statement. The Social Security taxes you pay into the Social Security trust funds that are used to pay benefits to current beneficiaries. The Social Security Board of Trustees estimates that, based on current law, the trust funds will be able to pay benefits in full and on time until 2034, 10 plus years from now. In that year, Social Security would still be able to pay about $800 for every $1,000 in benefits scheduled. And then it directs you to the Social Security website for more detail.
You know what's funny about that, Jim? 15 years ago, when we first started teaching retirement classes, it said in 2042, mm-hmm. then it went to 2038, then 2037. It actually was 2033, so we got a little bump there at 2034, and it was 77 cents of every dollar. Now they're saying 80 cents of every dollar. So either people are dying sooner than they thought, or something's going on to make the numbers look a little bit better. But I can tell you this, it's going to be fixed. They are working on things behind the scenes right now. Nothing's going to happen until after the next election. Nothing happens in America until there's a crisis. It has to be right on the cusp of being, you know, in danger of going away, just like it was in 84. And then again in 93, we made some adjustments. We went from adding the it was only a 50% threshold was taxable. They had the 85% threshold. That was during the Clinton administration. So, yeah, I mean, there was all kinds of goofy, great claiming strategies where you'd file, I wouldn't take my money, I'd file on you, and then I filed on the other, and it was crazy. All that stuff's gone, but there are still some things out there, like you mentioned, widows, divorcees, or, you know, the fact that there is no penalty on a death benefit. So if you happen to take your benefit at 62 and your husband or wife did not take it at 62 and they waited to full or maybe even 70 and then they died, you get to step up to their full benefit and you do not have a penalty any longer. So in many cases, we do have a spouse take it at 62 while the other one delays. So just a lot to it. And I know if people want to talk about these complicated issues, they know how to get hold of us.
Absolutely. And again, if you want to get your personalized Social Security statement, ssa.gov/myaccount. Let's take a break, David. When we come back, dive into the Q&A show. I actually have a question about the Social Security statement. Reading that, also a question about 401k, Roth IRA, and a lot more. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on WGCL. Welcome back, everyone, to Your Money with David Hayes. Jim Inman here in the studio. David Hayes on the phone today, Today's show brought to you by Kenny Bland Auctions, your full-service auction service offering pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at kennyblandauctions.com. All right, David, hope you got your notes in front of you. First question here. This comes to us from Denise. The front of my Social Security statement shows a family maximum Social Security amount, and that amount is less than what my spouse and I will receive from Social Security combined. Does that mean we won't get all of our Social Security?
No, the answer is no. Those are two independent things. So let's say that you, you're on Social Security and you have minor children. They're also eligible for Social Security. We call that kind of the second family thing, right, where someone marries someone younger, they have a second family, they go on Social Security, now their kids are eligible for Social Security, or disability, or maybe it's spousal benefits of a non-working spouse. But if two people have their own independent record, they're totally independent of each other, that family maximum does not come into play. It's for that individual's record only.
Okay. Next question is from Carolyn. What is the difference between a workplace 401k, a Roth, and a Roth outside of the workplace? What are the giving limits to each, and are there different rules?
Yeah, there's different rules. So number one, a Roth 401k, it's a 401k, so it can be traditional or Roth, it doesn't really matter. You can put a lot more money in. You know, for many people, it could be like $22,000, where an IRA might be, you know, $7,000 or $7,500, depending on your age, or even $6,500. So one is contribution limits. You can put a lot more into a 401k than you can a Roth. But a lot of people can do both. You know, you can put money into a 401k and then also put money into a Roth. Now, that has some earnings limitations, but it's pretty high. You know, for it's like $170,000, $180,000 for a married couple. So that happens a lot. You can also put money into a Roth for a non-working spouse. So let's say you're eligible to put money away because you have to have earned income to make a contribution to an IRA or a 401k, obviously. But if you have a non-working spouse, you can make a contribution for them, assuming you're eligible from a compensation standpoint. There were a lot of other differences between the two before Secure Act 2 came out, like, you know, just how beneficiaries were handled and different things like that. But how the five-year timing rule works when you put money in and when you can take money out. So there are still a few of those little nuances, but for the most part, that's on the distribution side, not on the contribution side. So Roth 401k, which I think everyone in their right mind should be putting their money into the Roth 401k, starting, I believe, next year or in 2025, employer contributions can also go to the Roth side. Now, that's something that was part of the Secure Act, too. I've not seen any plans implement that yet or get ready to do that. But I could see it happening sometime soon. You know, pay the tax now, be done. I did that workshop at Ivy Tech, and we gave, you know, these examples like, hey, you know, would you rather just pay tax now on the little bit of money that went in and never pay it again? Or do you want to get this little tax deduction today, and then when you grow and grow and grow and grow it, and you take it out later and pay the tax then, do you want to do that at a very unknown tax rate? We know what the tax rate is today. So that was the theme of this week's program that we did, Jim and I did, over at Ivy Tech. And I just think it's super important for people, number one, know what a Roth is. You pay the tax on the money that goes in. The money grows tax-deferred. You don't pay any of that money. And then when it comes tax-free. So it's the greatest thing on the face of the earth. It's the greatest show on earth, as I used to say, the circus business.
All righty, sir. One more question here. This one is from Sarah. I switched employers last month, which meant my insurance switched as well. I'd already met my deductible this year because of an outpatient procedure I had done. Now my new insurance company is saying I need to start from zero on my deductible for the remainder of the year. Is that true?
Yeah. Let me back up real quick because I have on the Roth question,
yeah.
Because there was one other thing that came to mind. Was with the Roth IRA, there are no required minimum distributions. So you never have to, no one's ever going to say you have to start taking money out of this until you die. And when you die, the people, not a spouse, if a spouse gets to keep it as their own, but a kid or a grandchild, they take it over. They have to have it out within 10 years, but there's no required distributions. If you have money in a 401k and you're still working, even if you were 72 or 73 or 75, depending on which age bracket you'll fall into for RMDs, still working exceptions still apply. So you would not have to take an RMD. But if you were not working and money's in a 401k, regardless of whether it's traditional or a Roth, RMDs apply. So you definitely want to roll that money out into a Roth IRA if that's the case. All right, ask me that question again, Jim. I can only multitask occasionally.
You're good. For being remote, you're doing just a fine, fine job. So Sarah wants to know, she switched employers last month, which means that her insurance switched. She met her deductible earlier this year because of an outpatient procedure. So now she's wondering if she really has to start from zero on the deductible with the new insurance company.
Yeah, unfortunately, she does. I mean, even I had a situation come up where it was the same insurance company, right? The companies used the same company to provide the insurance, but because it was a brand new plan, a brand new number, unfortunately, when you leave one job and move to another and you're taking advantage of their health insurance plan, you're starting off from the beginning, regardless of how much you paid in the previous plan or that previous deductible. Annual insurance it stinks, right? Because I was talking about that this week as well. I remember when the Affordable Health Care Act came out back in whatever time it was, 07, 08, sometime around that period. We were trying to figure out how to make health insurance more affordable across the board, but it's done nothing but go up since then. Our insurance at our office has gone up 40% over the last 3 years. 40%. I mean, what else has gone up 40%? Nothing in my world. But health insurance, it's one of those necessary evils, and unfortunately, Denise, you're going to have to start over.
Taxes have gone up a little bit, too, but that's another story for another
day. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's take
taxes have gone down, technically, you know, rate-wise, because if you look at the history of taxation, of course, you know, we were, you know, up in the top bracket and around 70% in the late 60s and 70s. The lowest bracket was 20. You know, we had the Reagan tax cuts in the 80s. We had the Read My Lips, no new taxes, right, from Bush. It went up, and then it went down again during the Trump tax cuts, and they're, of course, going to expire at the end of 2025. And then they're going to jump back up to where they were before. So there's been a lot going on. I've talked about that at the group meeting at Ivy Tech, that, you know, they may extend some of these tax brackets in the lower brackets. They might keep the standard deduction in place. There's some things that people really like about the tax code that could extend, and I'm like, that's fantastic, because now I get to write another book called Overtime. Because 2025, the final drive, man, that's a football metaphor, and it's to come to an end at the end of 2025. What's going to happen at the end of 2025? Do I burn all the books we have left, Jim, or do I just... What do we do with those books?
I can actually tell you that I had to order some out of the warehouse to be shipped to us, and we are on our last shipment, so we may have timed it perfect running through 2024.
All right. Well, we'll see. But if folks want it, they can go to Amazon and pick it up. I think it's still like $10 mm-hmm. or something like that. We still donate all the proceeds to charity. I get a quarterly check from the publisher, and then also from mortgage insurance. They're still selling them out there as well. And, yeah, we donate all that to charity. So if you want to pick it up, go ahead. If you attend one of the classes, we typically give it to you as a compliment. And some people like them signed or personalized, and I enjoy doing that as well.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we got a couple questions about annuities. We also had somebody who sold some property and kind of curious about the tax implications on that as well. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple minutes here on Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. Jim Inman here in the studio. David Hayes joining us on the phone. Don't forget, folks, next week here on the program, Jerry Sedler, the co-author of Don't Retire, Rewire, is going to be joining us live on the telephone. She and her husband, Rick Miners, authored that book. Ah, gosh, it's probably been 15 years or so since the first edition came out, David, if I recall.
Yeah, I think so, and then they revised it. It's been a really good book for people to pick up, especially if someone who's totally into work, you know, like that's their life, and you're like, I'm really worried about this person when they retire, like what are they going to do? So it gives them some exercises to go through to say, hey, you know, how do you get those attaboys at work beyond the paycheck? Like, why do you work beyond the paycheck? And you hear athletes talk about this all the time, you know, it wasn't in me anymore to play football or whatever, but I miss the locker room, I miss this, I miss that. And I love it because I love coaching people through life decisions, and I've been doing that for, you know, I mean, it's cool because now I'm 53 years old. I'm more relatable to the people that I see every day, able to pull on the experiences of the past 29 years of watching people do this very successfully, you know, retire very successfully. I'm not talking financially, but just emotionally connected with friends, family, faith, whatever, you know, it makes life go. And how do you make that happen? Because I tell you what, if you just retire, your days are going to be filled full of junk. All of a sudden, you're going to say, I don't know how I had the time to work. And you're like, well, what did you do today? I don't know, nothing. Well, if you have more meaning behind what that transition looks like into retirement, it's good. And Jerry's book is a good one to lean on to help give you the tools and tactics to make that happen.
Well, we got a next question here coming from Don. Don wants to know different uses for an annuity in retirement planning.
Well, that's a big question, Don. So, gosh, I could spend an hour just talking about that. Well, let's first talk about the four different types of annuities, because I think it's really important for them to differentiate between the four. The first one is called a fixed annuity, and it's really like a time deposit at a bank. You give an insurance company your money. They give you a fixed amount of interest. And by the way, right now the interest rates are fantastic. And at the end of the term, you can take it out and go do something else. If you don't take it out, you can roll it and do something. I got some really loud people around me. I apologize. That you can roll it and just see what the new rate is, like a CD at the bank. So that's fixed. You have variable annuities, which you put the money in subaccounts. They're like mutual funds. And they'll give you death benefits and income benefits. And I said this at the group meeting the other day at Ivy Tech that, you know, it might say, okay, you get the market value or 5%, whichever is better, to base your future income on. Or if you die, you get a guaranteed death benefit that's never less than the high watermark that it hit at some point during the ownership of this. Or if you pass away, we'll give you a 50% bonus on all your gains to pay the taxes. And people are like, man, that sounds great. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, that sounds too good to be true. I'm like, no. It's too good to be free. It's expensive, very expensive. They can run 3 to 4% easy all day long. So that was kind of the ding on annuities, that they're expensive and all that. But then you have indexed annuities, which have generally no cost to them at all, where you get a zero if the market goes down, and if the market goes up, you get some interest credit based on that participation. And sometimes, right now, the participation rates are really good. So you can use it for accumulation. That was what I guess I'm getting to. You can use it to provide a guaranteed lifetime income. You can use it to give a guaranteed death benefit if you want to your heirs. The last annuity, which no one really ever uses anymore that I'm aware of, is called an immediate annuity. And that's where you give your money to the insurance company. It's like a pension. You give it to them. It's gone. They give you a big, fat payout every month, every year. And when you're dead, it's gone. Now, you can do some kind of a period certain, like life with 10-year certain. So it's for my life or at least 10 years, life with 20-year, life with 30-year. The less that you get as far as guarantees go, the more you get as far as income goes. So there's a lot of different ways to use annuities. And I can tell you this, that they are very, very popular, because when you ask someone, hey, how much of you mentioned Social Security providing 30 to 40% of your income in retirement, but what if you said, hey, would you like to have another 20 to 30 to 40% of your income absolutely guaranteed in retirement? Who's not going to say yes to that? But then as soon as you say, here's how you do it, people say, oh, no, not annuities. Well, it's not what they are. It's what they do. So keep your mind open, your eyes open. If you're with a trusted advisor that has your best interests in mind, they're not going to tell you something that you shouldn't at least consider. You don't have to do it. It's like my doctor telling me to lose weight. Have I lost any weight? No. Should I lose weight? Yes. Do I know I should lose weight? Absolutely. And I'm not even talking 40 pounds. I'm talking 10 pounds. I haven't done anything about it, except maybe try to exercise, and occasionally comes to my mind not to eat that extra potato chip, but that's about it. So there's different ways to have a different result, and annuities are just simply one of the tools that are used very frequently in retirement. And, you know, if you think about it, Social Security is the great annuity, right? You've paid into it all these years. Now you've paid into Social Security really to benefit the people that are taking it now, but what did that get you? It got you a guaranteed lifetime income. So that is an annuity.
David, let's take a break. When we come back, we got just a couple more questions, and I know we're running a little short on time with two segments left. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about potentially a life insurance policy or selling some property. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back once again to Your Money with David Hayes. It's the question and answer show here this week. Glad you're all tuning in and joining us. Next question here, David, is from Craig. What can I do with taxable gains in a life insurance policy besides cashing out and paying the tax if Craig no longer wants that life insurance?
Well, let's first talk about how tax works on life insurance. So you add up all of the premiums you ever paid, all of them, and that's your basis. That's what you put into it. And then you turn around and say, well, what's in it in cash value? If the cash value is more than what you put in, then that's the gain. And it's actually considered ordinary gain, like ordinary income. What you can do, if the gain is substantial, and I was actually working on one with Angela just recently, you can do what's called it's an IRS code 1035 tax-free exchange. So you set up an annuity, it has to be another insurance product, and you can roll that cash value into the annuity. Now, another technique would be to go in and pull out your gains. The insurance company says, hey, come in and get your basis out. You can go in and just say, I want to pull out my basis, and then you just roll the gain. So there's ways to do that as well. And you can go from life insurance to annuity. You cannot go from annuity to life insurance. A little nuance there.
Okay. And I'm writing my notes down here for future reference there. And let's see, one more here. Ross had a lot in a subdivision that he paid off 3 years ago and is not built on it. If he were to sell it, would he have to pay capital gains tax on it, and at what rate?
Well, the answer is, yes, it is capital gains, long-term capital gains. So the answer is, I don't know, because it could be zero. It could be 15%. It could be somewhere in between, because right now, it's like a married filing joint couple, the first $80,000 of capital gains, assuming you have no other income, is taxed at zero. And then the next dollar is taxed at 15. So it kind of depends on how much other income he has. So as an example, real quickly, if he had $100,000 of regular income and $100,000 of capital gains, then his deductions get split pro rata, and then they run through their own tax bracket. So it's a tough question for me to answer, but the answer is it's not that bad. It's either going to be somewhere between 0 and 15% more than likely.
Sounds good. Let's take a break. We will come back for our final segment and wrap up the show and talk about what's coming up over the next couple of weeks. Stay with us. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you all for joining us here on Your Money with David Hayes this week. It's our question and answer show. David, one more question before we wrap up here. Does someone have to take a required distribution from each of their IRA accounts?
The answer is no. The IRS looks at your IRAs as one. So if you have 15 IRAs, you would calculate what your required distribution is of all of them combined, and you can take it all from just one place. Now, I will let you know this. If you have 401ks and IRAs, you do have to take it from them individually. If you happen to have a 403b, a 457, a 401k, and an IRA, you're going to have to take one from the IRAs, one from 457, one from the 403b, and one from the 401k. So that's another great reason when you're retiring or retired, roll it all to a stinking IRA, please. Make your life a lot easier.
Life is a lot easier for sure. Okay, that is our question.
Qualified charitable distributions, makes your RMD simpler. More Roth conversion opportunities. It just makes more sense to do it that way.
Awesome. So that's the question and answer show for the week. If you ever have questions that you would like to know, you can always reach out to us, cfci.us. We'll get you a response as quickly as possible, but we may use one of your questions on an upcoming show. And speaking of which, I wanted to throw it out there. Holiday gifting show is like a month away, David. Can you believe we're getting to that point already?
Man. I'm super excited that you and I are doing this again together. It's been a while, and you and I used to do this and have so much fun. And yeah, we're going to have a great time doing it. But yeah, if you have any ideas with a financial thread through it, please share it with us, because I'm sure that if someone loved the gift you gave, then someone's going to love hearing about the gift you gave.
Exactly. Again, you can send us a note, cfci.us, and let us know a great financial gift that you might be interested in or have a question about, whatever the case may be. Again, next week on the show, Jerry Sudler, co-author of Don't Retire, Rewire, is going to be joining us here on the telephone. And then we got the holiday gifting show coming up in a couple of weeks. I know we're going to do a year-end wrap-up, and I say that in October, but November's in like a week. I mean, it's just kind of flying by real quick. So, broker-dealer conference, anything, parting words before you have to head back to classes and whatnot, David?
Well, actually, we're not doing anything today. We just had a VIP event this morning. We're going to hang out at the cabana at the pool this afternoon, a dinner at the Wrigley Mansion tonight. We're going to dress up and do that, and then the rest of the big following from the broker-dealer will be here tomorrow, and then that's when the fun begins. That's when the classes start. So today it's all fun and sun and pool time. It's going to be great.
You know, when we started the show, I almost mentioned beautiful West Boggs Park in Lagodi, Indiana, since I always feel like that was the show that I always had to take the lead seat on when you were doing the Hayes Boys camp out every year.
Yeah, that's right, beautiful West Boggs Park in Lagodi, Indiana. I was just there a couple weeks ago, so thankfully we're not doing that Saturday morning show any longer. I have to go to the shelter house at the top of the hill to get proper reception to call into the show.
You know, I don't know if I ever actually saw a picture of that. I always wanted to, you know, that one photo of you just standing up there kind of high up on the hill and cell phone in hand.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It would have been – that's why we don't have a YouTube channel, folks. It's just straight up voicing and talking. Because you never know what you're going to see. You never know.
This is true. Well, you get back to it. Have a great weekend at the conference and everything, and we will talk to you next week, sir.
All right. See you, brother. Thanks for taking the show.
No problem. Again, thanks for tuning in to Your Money with David Hayes here on WGCL. Don't forget, if you miss any of the show on the Thursday night, you can catch it on the replay Saturday mornings here at 8 a.m. Don't forget also, you can go to WGCLradio.com. If you miss this show or miss any of our other shows, you can go there, download them. There's also podcasts available, all the ways that you want to listen. We've got them available for you. And of course, as we mentioned, you can head over to CFCI.us to make sure that you stay updated. You can join our email list as well. We send out a weekly email communication about what's coming up on the radio show and some other things as well. So lots of good information there. You can check out don'tretirerewired.com if you're kind of curious about what Jerry and her husband Rick have to say about the retirement process. As I was preparing some notes for that earlier today, it was kind of interesting to think, you know, there are people out there who don't really know what their plan is after they sign the paperwork and say that they're going to retire. And this is a great book that will kind of give you some insight. As David said, you know, finding your attaboys, that's one of the things that Jerry focuses on, making sure that you have you're living a life that's full in that next chapter. So don'tretirerewired.com is a great resource as well. Again, on our website, cfci.us, there's a lot of articles on there, some great calculators and things. So if you just have any kind of questions or thoughts on the financial thing, head over there and let us know what you might need. So that's what we've got this week. I'm looking at Alex because I'm not used to being in this spot to determine how much time we have left. We got a little bit of time, he's telling me. So, you know, I used to be able to do the vamping thing, the filler, a lot better than I am at the moment, but I'll get my groove, I promise. So, thanks again for submitting the questions for the show this week. Again, send those over through cfci.us. David will be back in the studio next week with Jerry on the air. And then the week after that, I actually don't have the schedule for that week, but I know that we've got the holiday gifting show the week before Thanksgiving. So check that out as well. And again, if you miss any part of the shows, you can go to WGCLradio.com for more info. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the nice weather, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.